as crazy as all this sounds, like, I became addicted to the mountains and to climbing like that. Being in those really extreme conditions and, like, with a team that you just learn to communicate with outwards with, and just, like, being out there, it was just, like, something in my soul. I was 24 years old that I didn't even know was within me was just, like, woken up.
Welcome to Jump Podcast, formerly known as the Budget Minded Traveler. I'm your host, Traveling Jackie, and I'm here to explore travel, adventure, and lifestyle in ways meant to motivate you to move and get out and see the world. Let this show be a source of travel advice and inspiration, but remember that in the end, it's you who takes the leap. All right, welcome back, everybody. I hope you're doing well today, wherever you are. I am doing great. I'm heading to Patagonia in a week, which is where I will be when this show goes live. Not for a group trip this time, but for another very special collaboration. If you're following my Instagram at Traveling Jackie, you're probably seeing it real time, but I'm actually heading there to shoot a film project with Osprey Pax. You guys know how much I love Osprey Pax, and I couldn't be more excited to be collaborating with them in this capacity. And on that note, I am now officially an Osprey Pax ambassador, and I am so honored to be aligning my brand with a brand that I respect so much. I know that so many of you out there use Osprey Pax, or even specifically the Farpoint, because of what you've read on my blog or heard me talk about on this show and seen in the BMT community. So, there's my bit of exciting news for the day. Cheers to that. And the beauty, of course, well, there's lots of beauties of being in this world of online entrepreneurship, but one of the beauties is location independence. So I'm actually taking an entire month to hang out in Patagonia before coming back to Montana for the summer. And you should already know that if you want to go to Patagonia with me, not on this trip, obviously, but in the future, you can always check out travelingjackie.com/trips to see when I am taking a group there next. We are going this November, and there are still spaces available as of this recording. So check that out, travelingjackie.com/trips. We are continuing with our trekking theme today, and I have a very special guest. Her name is Chelsea, and she is a badass who has traveled all over the world, usually in search of climbing or hiking or some sort of backcountry activity. And she's here today to share with us about three different experiences she's had traveling with gnolls, which some of you may be familiar with. If not, don't worry, she's going to explain everything. But the best part about this is that Chelsea also happens to be my brand new sister-in-law. So I'm actually inviting her to do this with me in person so we can drink champagne and chat together. And I'm so happy to be welcoming her to the show and introducing her to you all today. But before we get started with Chelsea, let's thank Escape Camper Vans for supporting the show and for hooking us up with a sweet discount of 10% off your first rental. If you guys haven't heard of Escape Camper Vans, they are the largest camper van rental company in North America with over 600 vans and 12 depot stations across the US and Canada. They offer the perfect solution for an adventurous weekend or a one-way road trip. Yes, you can do one-way rentals with them. Or are any of you out there thinking about van life? Because this would be a perfect opportunity to try it out before you commit. They sleep up to 4 to 5 people. They have kitchens with sink and stove and fridge, plus kitchen and bedding kits for rent. So you don't have to have all your own gear as you travel. You can just rent and go. The vans fit into most tent sites and parking spots, so they are appropriate for off the beaten path travel, and rentals start at just $37 a day in low season. And like I mentioned, they're hooking us up with a 10% discount. So go to escapecampervans.com/jump and enter the promo code JUMP10 to get 10% off your first rental. Thanks again to Escape Camper Vans for that. All right, let's go ahead and get Chelsea on here.
Okay, I am here with my sister-in-law, woo, Chelsea. I almost said Kumba. So my brother just got married, actually, and my lovely sister-in-law is here. And we're actually doing this one in person. And so if the audio sounds different, that's why. We're currently sitting in my house in Bozeman, Montana, and we are about to pop some champagne,
because Chelsea and Daryl actually just got back from their honeymoon.
Yeah, we did.
Which was in Japan.
Which was amazing.
Which is a whole nother story that I would love to talk about at some point.
It is.
But I'm going to go ahead and open this while we get started here. So, but the reason, not Japan, the reason that you are here to talk with me today is because you have done three Knowles courses.
Yep.
And this is greatly interesting to me because it's like, what I like about it is it's like a structured, it's structured. It's kind of like handheld, meaning like it's planned for you. You sign up for something.
Yep.
Abroad or domestic. You've done a few.
Yeah. There's a curriculum.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Very cool.
Yeah.
And this is just fascinating to me because you can learn and get certified in things and
get college credit.
Crazy. Really?
For courses. Yep. A lot of universities in the U.S. Recognize Knowles courses as college credit. And a lot of students these days are starting to do gap years and semesters abroad with Knowles.
Oh, whoa.
Yep.
Holy. Okay, mm-hmm. I did not know that.
Yeah.
That's huge.
Yeah.
All right, let's pour this. Glug, glug, glug. There it goes.
Yay! And the celebration continues.
The celebration is always going to continue.
Yay!
All right. Cheers.
Cheers, sister.
Yay! And thanks for coming on the show. I'm so excited to have you here.
Thank you for having me. When you asked me to do this podcast, I was really excited because my experience with Knowles, like I'm just a diehard fan for life. Mm-hmm. My family donates because they've seen how powerful being involved has been for me.
Really?
And so I'm like really excited to talk about it.
Wow. That actually just gave me chills. That's really cool. I didn't know that either.
Yeah.
So let's start with maybe the most obvious question. What is Knowles? What does it stand for?
Knowles stands for the National Outdoor Leadership School.
Okay.
And their whole kind of premise is it's set in an outdoor setting, but it's teaching students is what you are when you're on a Knowles course, various types of leadership skills, both as a leader and a follower and in group settings. And I've really learned some very valuable skills in that regard that have translated to the rest of my life.
Mm-hmm. I bet. What led you to this originally? Like, why did you, how is it? I mean, people right now are probably hearing about this for the first time. Mm-hmm. Not everybody. Like, I know a lot of people know Knowles, but a lot of people out there are going to be hearing about this for the first time. So how did you come across Knowles? Like, how
I'll tell you a little bit about that because it's kind of, I wasn't searching for an outdoor school at all. And I wasn't necessarily looking for a lesson when I was originally looking for this, but I had just graduated from college. I was living in San Francisco and I really hated my job. I was really miserable. Mm-hmm. And I sort of felt just kind of like lost. Mm-hmm. And like, what was the next right move for me? Mm-hmm. My junior year of college, I had picked up John Krakauer's Into Thin Air. Mm. And I had always been interested in the mountains. I always loved spending time in them. But I read this book and a fire was lit inside of me. I was like, I have to learn how to climb like this.
Wow.
Like,
I
need to do this. Mm-hmm. And over the next year or so, I was just devouring mountaineering memoirs. So at this kind of strange crux of my life, I decided that I needed to do this. And I also decided to go to grad school. So I knew I could get my family's support and me running off to the Himalaya I had been accepted into grad school. So that's what I did. So I got accepted.
I promise mom and dad, I'm coming back.
Right.
But let me run away first.
And then I quit my job. Yeah. And then that's what I was looking for. I really wanted to go to Nepal. I really wanted to go to the Himalaya. And I just got on the internet. Mm-hmm. And I just started researching and I just went down a bunch of wormholes. And mm-hmm. then I found it. A Knowles Himalaya mountaineering course in India. And I looked into it. There are scholarships that you can apply for because they're not cheap, mm-hmm. but they give a lot of scholarship money out. You basically just say why you need it. And mm-hmm. you, And that's that. So I got the scholarship.
Whoa.
I got in because you have to apply.
Yeah.
And I was off.
Can you give us an idea of what... Well, okay, first of all, it depends on the length. And so I know that matters when it comes to pricing. But depends. Did you get like a full scholarship for
I
it?
Didn't, but okay. It was enough to make it affordable for me.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
So I got a scholarship for the first one. And the second one I could afford, which was on its own, just fine. Mm-hmm. And then I did get a partial scholarship again for the EMT course. Mm-hmm. But so they're really into their foundation and their community and their relationship with their donors and connecting them to students. So I, on the first course, I got a scholarship, and then they ask you, please write a thank you note to your donors. So I got to write this thank you note, and I like threw in there some like excerpts from my journal, and I was talking about how powerful it was to me, sent it off. It felt really good. And then my parents saw how much like, how powerful this was for me. So then they decided that they would donate to Knowles for their scholarship fund mm-hmm. every year. Mm. And they started getting these thank you notes from these other students. Yeah. And they're just like, they were like, this is the best thing ever. Oh, like we're seeing like so cool. these, we saw you change. We saw these other students' lives yeah. like be so positively impacted by this. And anyway, I just think that's a really cool thing that they
it
do.
It is. That just gave me chills again. Like, mm-hmm. wow. You can, when you, as a donor, to see the direct results of like where,
yep.
what's happening, like in real people's lives, how life-changing that is. That's
yeah.
so cool.
That's really cool.
So. What a cool system.
Yeah.
Yes, that is. And how long was your program?
My course was total of, it was just under 2 months, and the time... And that includes travel and meeting ahead of time mm-hmm. and all of that stuff. Mm-hmm. But, and then the total time we were out in the field, if you will, was 34 days.
That is so
yeah.
crazy.
Actually, no, I'm wrong. It was 38 days. Yeah.
Wow.
Mm-hmm.
So what was this like? So what did you sign up for? What was the program? So it was a mountaineering program, but what does
I
that mean?
I signed up for Knowles Himalaya Mountaineering, glacial mountaineering. Mm-hmm. And then the course structure was go out into the Himalaya for 38 days. And we had an objective, like where we were going. And our objective was to like get over this really high mountain pass and then like come down this other way. So it wasn't an out and back. It was definitely like a very
point
to point. And then one of my favorite parts of the whole thing is they build in these like the last 6 or 7 days of our trip were without our instructors, and we were split into small groups, and they were like, okay, you've learned all these skills. Mm-hmm. Here's a map. We're meeting in this random tiny village in 6 days in this place. Show
Get
up.
There.
Dude, Get there.
You know what's so cool? When I was in Patagonia in hiking with Ford. Everybody's going to know what that means. We were on the Carretera Austral. It was during that month that I was doing like this big long road trip. And we were hiking in a national park that's super remote. And we came across a group of people. And there were like 4 or 6 of them.
Sounds
4 to 6 of
wow.
them. Yeah. Maybe like, yeah, 5 or 6. I don't know. And they were obviously like gringos. Like we could tell that they, spoke, English, whatever. And so we stopped them and asked them like, what are you guys doing? Like, it was a beautiful day. It was kind of like sun snow. It's actually kind of like today, like sun snowing, you know, and it was freezing. And these people are like decked out in gear. I mean, they have all the things.
And they were
huge backpacks.
Filthy like, and smelly.
Yeah, totally. Yep. Yes. All the things. And they were doing that part of their Knowles trip.
That's it so was cool.
So cool. Yeah, they were like, 4 days ago we got dropped off, and like, this is where we're headed. And it was their last day. Like they had to be there by like 4 p.m.
Yeah.
And we had just
cool.
come up from where they were going.
Wow.
And so they had been 4 days in that wilderness. Like, yeah. But that was the first that I had like really kind of heard about that experience of it. Like I had heard of Knowles, but like really, I didn't know anything about it. So you guys did that, but for for 10 days you were on your own?
No, it was 6 days.
6 days.
So okay. We were out with our whole group, and we had three instructors and then an assistant instructor. Mm-hmm. And then we were like split into small groups, and they were like, all right, see you when we see ya. Yeah. And we all, that's each so group, cool. where they just said, okay, well, we want this group to take this pass and this group to go mm-hmm. down this valley, so you guys don't run into each other.
Right.
And you just have to make your own way.
Yep.
Yeah.
Wow.
So it was cool.
So how big was the group? Like the whole group?
With the instructors, actually had a pretty large group. We were 18.
Oh, that's and not then, bad. Okay.
And I was one of three girls.
Wow. Mm-hmm. Good for you.
Yeah. So,
and it was what awesome. Were the ages of everybody?
The ages. I think, like, so 20. I was 24. Yes, I was 24. And the youngest on our trip was turned 20 mm-hmm. on it. And then the oldest, I think he was, I want to say 27 or 28.
Oh, wow. So yeah. Everybody was young mm-hmm. in their 20s.
Yeah.
Okay. Is there an age limit?
No.
Or a require?
Like, no, actually, if you want me to talk about their,
yeah, sure.
their course structure. So they have a lot of their courses are geared, they'll say, if you go search on their website, what kind of class your course you're looking for. Like the, if you're like a high school or if you're a college, so bulk of them are geared towards college students and in 20s, young 20s.
Okay.
And those courses are usually about a month long. And mine was longer because of the location. Mm-hmm. And then they do semesters mm-hmm. and gap years. And then this is the course I did next. They do like a 23 and over course. And those are geared towards adults. And okay. so, and they're shorter. They're usually 2 to 3 weeks long to be a little bit more respective, like an adult, a working adult
work schedule.
Scheduling.
Yeah.
And then when I did one of those, I think it was 2.5 weeks total. I think the youngest was 24, 25, and the oldest was 34, 35.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. So they're like really geared towards a specific target audience, really, when they create these things.
Yeah.
Maybe they're just trying to split people up, like according to.
Yeah. I think they're the ones that are 23 and over are trying, they try to get the older crowd, which is great. And then just mm-hmm. be respectful of like the adult schedule.
Right.
And then once you've completed a Knowles course, they offer Knowles alumni trips where you can bring a family member or a friend on a bunch of them and
cool.
still maybe not get quite as like a challenging experience, but still get a taste of what it's like.
Yeah. And so they you do can this. Show someone, mm-hmm. one of your friends or family or whatever. Because I yeah. imagine a lot of these people probably go alone.
Yes.
And you went alone.
I've never been on a two-in-alls course where somebody knew somebody else.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Yeah.
So tell us more about the India one, because that's where you ended up.
Yes.
What
so
did it look like? What
this
did you-
one, okay, so the meeting point was a hotel in New Delhi. Mm-hmm. So flew there, got there, and then they connected all, like every student who'd signed up ahead of time, like via a Facebook group or an mm-hmm. email. I forget what it was. And then so three of us or four of us decided to go early. And we got into Delhi like 4 or 5 days ahead of the rest of the group. And so we had so much fun just getting to know each other and exploring the craziness that India yeah. is, just totally wild. And then when everyone got there, we were in Delhi, which is kind of on the eastern side of India. So then we took this really crazy bus ride, I remember, from New Delhi to Ranikhet, which is in the northeastern state of Uttarakhand. And that's, yeah, very northeastern India. That's where like the Himalaya dip in, and that's at the border of India with Nepal and okay. Tibet. And so there's a Knowles headquarters in Ranikhet. And so they have like bunk beds and like a ration place and all that stuff. So we got there and we had like a day of like a packing lesson. And it was such an eye opener because we were going for such a long time. And so we had so much food and fuel that we needed to carry.
Yeah. Oh man.
That like yeah. all of your personal stuff, like, man, it just goes down.
To
like
the
you
wayside.
Just yeah. have to. I think I had 3 pairs of underwear, 2 sports bras, like And then you have a pair of socks to sleep in. You have two pairs of socks to hike in. And then you have a pair of socks for like lounging. Mm-hmm. And then I had one layering system.
Okay.
Like I had one shirt, one this, one vest.
Yep.
And like,
yeah,
that was it. And then like your sunscreen and your toothpaste.
Wow.
You know, so.
I love that though. Cause that's like, that is exactly how I pack for.
Yeah.
Like for my Patagonia trips and like these hiking trips. Cause, and I say this on the podcast all the time, but you end up wearing the same thing every day when you're on the trail every day. And no one cares because they're all wearing the same thing too. And so what you need is one really good system that you know that works.
Exactly.
And that's it. Yeah. And like some cotton clothes to change into afterwards. Did you have that? Like sleep clothes? You
didn't no sleep clothes. Like, yeah, no, fit. I like, there's that one point where like a base layer just went on me and just stayed on me. And they stunk so badly after this trip that like no amount of washing could save them.
Oh my gosh. Yeah.
No, I tried everything. Baking soda, vinegar, like no. Just done. So we're in Ranikhet and then so we got really, we did like learn some basic Hindi. We learned some basic mountaineering skills, some like basic knot tying, like all of that. We started there.
Yeah.
And then they have this really elaborately and well-organized system for food and for bringing rations, and how all of that is going to play out. So they have this like separate building, and at every NOLS headquarters I've ever been to, it's the same. And they have it all planned out for how many people. Okay. We need 2,000 to 3,000 calories a day. And they organize it by tent group. So it's like assigned your tent and like who you're in it with. And you each tent group has a certain amount of shared gear, including the food. So we'd go and there's like this very elaborate system for measuring out and putting in plastic bags, like every little piece of food we needed. And we had no bars, no like instant, you know, hot water stuff. It was, we cooked everything from scratch.
Whoa.
Yeah. We made pizzas.
What?
We baked the guy who had his birthday on the trip a cake at like 16,000 feet,
which
is like totally wild.
Oh my
gosh. We made a loaf of sourdough. Yeah,
this we did is all this. Insane.
Yeah. And then when we started hiking, we were making our way through the foothills. Mm-hmm. So we would run into like little villages and stuff. When we were lower down, you know, we'd grab some onions or some eggs and throw all that in there. But it was actually like a really like well-rounded diet for like what you need.
That's amazing.
What your body needs
to
kind of survive in those conditions. So yeah, that was the next thing. So we started our journey. And so at first we're like making our way through, it was like, I want to say like three or four days of just hiking on like a normal trail. There's that like connect the villages.
Mm-hmm.
And then beyond that, it was called like Camp Zero. And that was at 14,000 feet. And that's like where the snow started. And then we got there, we had like snow skill school. So we'd practice with like our ice axes and our crampons, like how to self-arrest, how to arrest this person. And then we started working on group glacial travel and crevasse rescue. And we practiced all of that stuff before we actually got on to the glaciers.
Mm-hmm.
And then we just started going up from there. So we're already getting into really high altitude. Mm-hmm. And there's kind of a really good rule in mountaineering for healthy acclimatization. Did I say that right?
Acclimatization
is like climb high, sleep low. So we have so much gear. We have all this food and fuel. So we would make camp, sleep there. And then the next day we would take a bunch of this extra gear that we didn't need right then. And we'd go climb up to where like the next camp would be.
Yeah.
And then you cache it, you bury it in the snow, stick a few flags so you can mark it, and then go back down and sleep there. And then the next day or the day after, then we would move our whole camp up. And then you just kind of keep working your way up like that.
Yeah.
We were out there for 38 days. So just pretty wild.
That is and then, so like, wild.
Yeah, no, it was totally wild. And then, of course, like there's a lot of people. And people go to the bathroom. Mm-hmm. So when we weren't on a glacier, when at these lower camps, like we would just like dig a latrine, if you will. And mm-hmm. then it was snowballs for toilet paper.
Okay.
Because like you just can't pack out that much
toilet paper.
Yeah. Toilet paper. It's just not an option.
Snowballs for toilet paper.
Which was actually not that bad. But then this is the crazy part is, so when you make a camp on a glacier, you basically all stay roped in together, like with your tools, like ready to go. And then you stake out a perimeter where you know there's not a snow covered crevasse.
Okay.
And you stake it out and then that's your perimeter. So when you need to go to the bathroom, it's like, I mean, I definitely had to go pee once when basically everyone could see. It's sort of just like, turn around, guys.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
That kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
So that's like life on a glacier, part of it, but it was pretty fun. Like this all sounds like so like intense, which it was very intense and it was mentally challenging in a lot of ways. But I will say this, we had so much fun and, this group of people, you just become so deeply bonded with, like two of them were at my wedding.
Mm-hmm.
You're friends for life, basically. Mm-hmm. So we had a blast with that. And then the other kind of really crazy thing for me was, I remember the first night we were at Camp Zero and we're in the mountains and we're surrounded, like we're in an arena of over 20,000 foot peaks. Just,
oh my gosh,
is wild. And I remember the first night I was laying there and I was like half asleep and I was dreaming that I heard like waves in the ocean crashing. Like, you know, when you're staying by the beach, mm-hmm. you can like hear the water. And I woke up and I realized it was avalanches.
Oh.
Just like.
Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Like there would be a big snowfall and we would just watch these massive avalanches that are like bigger than anything that could occur in the United States.
Whoa.
Like it was mind-boggling.
Just like on the peaks in the distance.
Uh-huh.
Yeah,
it was wild because they're so steep and they're so high, like they just get mm-hmm. a bunch of snow and it all slides.
Wow.
So it was wild.
That is crazy.
So that was cool. And then there was like 1.2. We were like pretty high up. I think we were at a camp that was around 18,000 feet and we got a huge storm. Mm. And it confined us in our tents for like 3 or 4 days. Oof. And all you can do is wait. It's like this white out massive storm. And I just remember, so all of our tent sizes were 3 to 4 person tents.
Mm-hmm.
We had like I remember at one point, like 12 of us crammed into like a 4-person tent and y'all, it stank so bad because we're not bathing. Yeah.
Right. Like, that's one thing you're not doing with snowballs up there.
We're like,
yeah,
no, we're washing our hands with soap and water, but that's about it.
Yeah.
You know? But it was pretty bad. And then too, like our rations for that section were starting to get really, really low. We had already like cooked and eaten through all the good stuff. And we had oatmeal for breakfast and dinner. We would just change the seasoning. Like for breakfast, we put cinnamon on it. For dinner, like salt and pepper or something.
Oh
like
God.
Just like getting down here. And I just remember this. We were all just like laying there in our stinky filth. And we all spent like a good hour or half an hour each like describing the meal we wished we could have
then.
Which
yeah.
was torture, but it was fun.
Yeah.
So
that's where you ask yourself, am I still having fun? Like, is this still worth it?
Is this still fun?
That's like type two fun.
Yeah.
Like after the fact, it's like you can laugh about it, but in the moment,
totally.
You kind of wish you could have a big meal.
Oh,
hot bed. And,
definitely.
Yeah. Oh man.
But then, so I have like two more things I think for me that were like, one is a surprising thing I learned about being in the glacier like that. And another thing that was like profound for me. I'll tell the first story. It was really sunny out, like, and we were just getting full glare up for like, from the snow and the ice. And I remember I had so much sunscreen on my face and it was really hot.
Mm-hmm.
Like we were just baking. It was like we could have been in the Sahara. Like
wow.
It was so hot, which was shocking. And just sweating just completely. And then I had a buff, covering my face, but the sweat, because I had a helmet and a hat on, was like dripping down my face. So I kept like lifting up my buff to like wipe the sweat because like sunscreen was starting to run into my eyes.
Yeah.
And then by the time we got to the camp that we are going to be at, my jaw and my chin were so badly sunburned that they blistered. Like it was like something else.
Because it rubbed off of your...
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Basically.
And I think it took us like, I want to say 9 to 11 hours to get from A to B. Mm-hmm. Where we were going. So it was like a long, slow sludge up in the snow and the sun just getting baked.
Oh.
Yeah, it was brutal.
Ouch.
So, yeah. So that was like, that was something else.
So reapply glacier. Reapply sunscreen when on a glacier, like constantly.
Just stay as covered as possible. Yeah. Like sunscreen didn't even cut it.
Yeah.
You know? So it was like when we were in Jordan. I was on Jackie's trip in Jordan, mm-hmm. where we wear long pants and long sleeves mm-hmm. every day and a hat. Like we were just covered.
In the middle of the desert.
In the desert.
Yep.
You just have to be covered, which actually was really cool.
It was great.
It was great.
Yeah, because we didn't burn. Like nobody really burned.
And it like kept you cooler.
Mm-hmm. Strangely.
Strangely.
Yep.
But so that was cool. And then the other thing too was, and this is, so on this trip, as crazy as all this sounds, like I became addicted to the mountains and to climbing like that, like being in that, in those really extreme conditions and like with a team that you just learn to communicate with mm-hmm. outwards with, and just like being out there, it was just like something in my soul. I was 24 years old that I didn't even know was within me was just like woken up.
Yeah.
And I didn't even know that that was something inside me, mm-hmm. Which was really cool. And then the other thing too, which was so wonderful. And it was such a blessing in my life. And it has been every time I've returned to the mountains like that, is that being so far removed for so long, because we didn't have cell phones, we didn't have any touch with the outside world, but we are just out there. It just gave me this like almost bird's eye perspective on my life and the direction I was headed in and like where I'd come from, where I was going. And it really, at that point, like laser focused for me what at the time was what I really wanted and where I wanted to go and who I wanted to be. Because when I graduated college, I was like, what? Now what? Mm-hmm. Like, I think I know what I want, but I'm not really sure. Like, who am I now that I'm not in this sport and in this club and taking these classes? Like, what?
What's left?
Right. Yeah. And so that experience was, I met me.
Oh my gosh.
You know?
Yeah.
So it was amazing. Yeah. And then, so two friends that I was on this trip with, they're these guys who I lived in a tent with this whole time. Somehow. But they didn't have plans after, and I had plans to go work for an NGO in Kathmandu, Nepal, following this course. So they were like, they tagged along, they came over, and then the three of us, from everything we had just learned in these, you know, 6 weeks or so, were able to plan and organize, gain permits from the Nepalese government, our own expedition in the Annapurna range of the Himalaya in Nepal.
Wow.
And we were like, yeah, not gonna lie, we got our butts whooped. Mm-hmm. It was a real eye opener, but it was incredibly empowering to be like, okay, in this course, I just learned everything I needed to go do this on my own in like a really safe and responsible way.
With buddies.
With friends.
Yeah.
Yeah, with partners to do it with.
Right.
Who I had just spent all this time developing this trust with.
Yep.
To make good decisions, because none of this is dangerous. I mean, none of this is safe terrain that we were on ever, you know? Yeah. So it was great. Wow.
How long were you gone?
I was gone, I think, a total of 3 months. And then when I got back, I had like 2 days. I went to my parents' house. I had like 2 days. And then I got in my car and I drove to Mississippi and I started grad school.
So at least you still wanted to do grad school. Like you were on the right path.
Mm-hmm.
That's yeah. super
yeah.
important, powerful, I guess, too, to mm-hmm. recognize, because that could have all gone out the window, too.
It could have.
And then you just change your plan, I guess.
Yeah.
But were your parents so happy to hear from you after the 38 days?
They were. They were. Like, and you couldn't even get in touch with them right away. It wasn't until back, I think, when we were back to Delhi.
Wow.
When I, like, emailed them or, like, FaceTimed them or something. And they, like, didn't even recognize me.
Oh, my God.
I was so, like, weathered and just...
blistered.
Like, you know.
Yeah.
It was awesome, though.
Yeah. It was awesome. So cool.
Yeah. Oh so, gosh. But, yeah, it was, like, yeah, it was, like, 38 or 39 days that I went without a bath.
Oh, man.
Yeah. Yeah. It was something else.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. But it was fun.
That's great. And that was your first one. That was your first intro to this whole world.
Yeah.
And now you have like big goals. You want to like climb big things.
Yeah.
What are your big
goals? I think so. There was a while there where, okay, well, I definitely want to go back to the Himalaya. It's just, there's something so magical and powerful about that part of the world. Like, yeah, it's just, it's hard to like put into words. Yeah. It's just like a feeling mm-hmm. like in you that you, it's so hard to describe.
Yeah.
But I think at that time was definitely like, oh man, I want to climb like the 8,000 meter peaks, which for those of you who don't know, there's only 14 in the world that are over 26,000 feet, Everest being the tallest. But I definitely was like, oh man, I want to go after the 8,000 meter peaks, which I think I'd like to do one at some point, but, I think my interests have shifted now to just continuing to challenge myself with harder and harder projects and to just keep developing my skills. And it's really fun to do that with people who are, it's great to go out with people you trust, but somebody who's a little bit better at you in one area and then someone who's not as good about you in another area. And then you all just mentor and grow.
Learn from each other.
And I think that's one thing I love so much about the climbing community is that climbers don't become climbers without without a mentor.
Yeah.
So it's just this really shared, beautiful thing. Yeah. And everyone just like respects that. So everyone's into teaching and I've never met somebody who was even the most advanced climbers that I've ever met who would turn down a novice or somebody newer because they're like, yep, let's go.
Wow. Yeah.
Yeah. That's really super fun.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Man. And then, so let's talk quickly also about the other two that you did because that was massive. That one was like huge, but you've done two other Knowles courses. Totally different, though.
Totally different.
Wait, oh, I have a question still. Did you get some sort of certification, or was there something at the end of that?
I walked away from that with my Avalanche Level 1 certification. Wait, no, I didn't. That was the other one.
Okay.
I didn't get a certification, but I walked away with letters of recommendation from my instructors, in various types of leadership skills. And then for me, I basically, like, we graduated Mountaineering 101.
Okay.
Or even 103.
Yeah.
You know?
I mean, I would say,
For that type of mountaineering. So, if you want to sign up for other climbs or if you want to get people to trust you, which can be hard to do, it's like you say, okay, well, I have this under my belt. Mm-hmm. And it's kind of universally recognized in the climbing community, like, okay, if you've done a Knowles course, then I trust and believe that you have X, Y, and Z skills, that you're a really good teammate.
Yeah.
Like, you're going to look out for me and I'm going to look out for you.
You know what you're doing.
You know how to communicate about it, and you are not embarrassed to say that you're not comfortable with something or you don't know how.
Mm-hmm.
So that's actually carried a lot of weight.
Okay.
Yeah, and to other things. But no, the letters of recommendation, I've like continued to use especially those instructors, as references for different things, because
of course, yeah,
I lived with them in the wilderness for 2 months. They got to see the good, bad, and the ugly side of me. They really got to see my weaknesses and learn my strengths. Mm-hmm. And that, I found that too, that has mattered a lot to people. So that's been really cool.
Wow. Mm-hmm. That's so valuable. Something to like take forward like that.
Yeah. Totally.
I mean, besides all the memories and the fun and like the skills and there's like so much in that.
There is, big time. So that was really cool.
Okay. And then, so you said you got the Avi cert in a different one.
In a different course.
You did one in the Tetons and actually you did two in Wyoming then, right?
No, we were in Idaho.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
So tell us about those real quick.
So, okay. So I just did this course. I did all this stuff. I'm totally hooked. I'm like,
now you're in grad school. Like,
yeah. Then I'm realizing like, shoot. Like, first of all, there are no mountains here. Second of all, I need to learn how to backcountry ski because you can get way deeper into the mountains way faster and more efficiently on skis than you can on foot. So I got to learn this thing.
Next project.
Next. Yeah. So then I found out that Knowles did a 23 and over, so geared towards adults, backcountry skiing course. And this one in particular was in the Tetons, just outside of Driggs. Mm-hmm. That's where their headquarters is. In Driggs, Idaho.
In Idaho, yeah.
And it was like over one of my Christmas breaks in grad school. So I signed up for that. Yeah, it's like, mom and dad, like, I'm not coming to Christmas. I'm doing this instead. I'll see you later. And then I went out on this one, it was two instructors and I think it was eight students. So there's like 10 of us, okay. I want to say. And actually this course was shorter, but it was way more challenging in a lot of other ways for me than the other one. Like they were
40 days on a glacier.
They were night and day experiences, like totally different. So, we had a few days in Driggs at the headquarters again, like learning basic skills before we headed out. Yeah. We had like avalanche class, like the lecture of it, if you will. And when we were out, it was like the lab. You know what I mean?
Yeah, totally.
Yeah. I did the lecture in the lab.
So
we did all that. And then we set off with our sleds. So we had like harnesses. Mm-hmm. And then we dragged sleds of all of our equipment and gear.
All of you?
Yeah, we all did.
Wow.
We all had a sled. So when you're out in the snow, it was the same in the Himalaya. All of your water you have to make from snow. And you have to drink a lot of water. So you need a lot of fuel to go to melt the snow, make your water. So it's a ton to bring for 10 people for 2 weeks.
Yeah.
So we all had a sled and we would kind of just... So we had like a goal of like a couple of places we wanted to sort of have a base camp. So we would... Like we would travel in and then our first couple of camps, we learned all these different types of snow shelters you can make. And the easiest one was like you dig a pit in the ground and then you put a tarp over it like a tent because snow is very insulating. Mm-hmm. And then the places that we are going to stay longer, we built snow shelters that were like much more substantial. So we dug snow caves. We dug and built and shaped snow caves.
Wow.
And they were like shockingly warm. Because this was the really hard part for me was it was this whole 2 weeks. It got above zero one time.
Oh,
and I don't know.
When did they do this? In the middle of winter?
This was, it was over Christmas.
Oh yeah, Christmas.
Christmas, beginning of January. I think it was 2013. It was brutal. Like I had more layers for this trip and bigger down booties and stuff than I did in the Himalaya, which was in the spring when I did that. And it was really, it was so mentally challenging because you're always cold. We were like eating, I'm not kidding you, like sticks of butter for calories because it was like, if we weren't moving, we were starting to freeze. So we would like be out like cooking dinner and stuff, like doing jump squats. Like we made up these little dances that we could do to like keep our bodies moving and stay warm. And then we would like, and this is so funny none of you know me, but I'm like really into like nutrition and like feeding your body well. But like we would like stash chocolate and like Snickers bars in our sleeping bags. And like, you wake up in the night shivering, you do a bunch of crunches or like some push-ups in your bag and you like inhale a Snickers bar and then you put the log on the fire, just keep it going. Yep. Yeah. So it was like this for 2 weeks.
Oh my gosh. That sounds kind of miserable.
Yeah, it was hard. I remember, so on all of these too, which has been really cool, is I've like kept pretty detailed journals because there's plenty of times when you're climbing and moving and shoveling and all this stuff, but then you have plenty of downtime. And you read a lot, which is great, and journal. So I basically wrote a book when I was in India. Mm-hmm. But on this trip, I bought like a smaller notebook. But I just remember at one day, like I couldn't even grip my pen correctly. I just like, you know, like you do like the claw, like yeah. around it. I at the top of the page, I just wrote what the temperature was. And then I wrote the full version, of course. Effing cold in all caps. And I remember like the next going back and looking in that journal because it's all I could get out, you know, yeah. going back in that journal the next like 5 or 6 days, I just, you know, you write the little like quote marks to like say like I repeat what I said yesterday. It was just like, okay.
Repeat. Oh my God.
So it was hard, but we learned how to backcountry ski. So using mm-hmm. like the AT setup, mm-hmm. We learned how to like dig pits and test the snowpack and learned about what the snow is doing. And then, so when we had this base camp, we would like do day trips. So we would go out, like skin up a peak and then ski down, which was, I had never skied like that before. And it just blew my mind. I was like, oh my God, like I could never love anything more ever again. We had these gorgeous sunny days that were just beautiful, but cold,
but really effing cold.
I definitely walked away with a little bit of frostbite, oof. Like nothing terrible at this point, but it was amazing. And then again, too, incredible instructors who give you the feedback, the good, the bad, and the ugly, mm-hmm. the encouragement, everything. And then everyone on this course, too, is from a completely different walk of life. Mm-hmm. But everyone showed up kind of like they do on your trips. When they sign up, it's like, all right, I don't know what you're going to be like or if we're going to get along, but I know we have something in common because we both wanted to do this. Mm-hmm. And I have to say, I've only ever met the most incredible people on these trips.
Amazing.
Yeah. So, and then we ended this course with, we got our Avi level 1 certification.
Okay.
Yeah. So, and that was, it was awesome.
Wow.
Yeah. Yeah. It was great.
And then what was the last one that you did?
And then the last one I did was it was totally different than any of this. I did, I got my EMT and my woofer or my wilderness first responder mm-hmm. certification from Knowles. And their main headquarters is in Lander, Wyoming, which is where they have all of their offices. And then just, I think it's like 13 miles outside of Lander, they have their wilderness medicine campus, which is amazing. It's like, basically, it's on the edge of the Wind River Range.
Ooh, yeah.
And it's lead platinum. So like they have building that's lead platinum, and then you stay in these cabins, but you can bring your car, you can drive into town, you can go get a beer, you can go to the grocery store, mm-hmm. whatever. But so every day,
you're still in civilization.
You're still kind of in civilization. Like we're out here. But they have the most amazing instructors, again, incredible people in this beautiful place. And I was going to say, like, too, I'm so glad I did my experience with Knowles because they don't just teach you like how to be an EMT, like at a hospital, they teach you how to do those things. Like you get both. You do, how do I do this? And like at the city, if I go work there, mm-hmm. but how do I do this? Like, cause it's a completely different approach. If you're 3 days out in the woods from civilization, like how do you care for somebody with all these different types of things? They did all these, like they would do like scenarios, where they would like drive us out in the middle of the night and like drop us off and be like, okay, you have 2 people with a broken leg. Like someone's unconscious and like get them back, like figure it out. Mm-hmm. Like,
wow.
You know, so that was fun. But it was awesome. Like I learned so much. And then like afterwards I went to work for, the Big Sky Fire Department as a on-call EMT. And it was like, it went ain't nothing after that. which is cool. Which is really cool. Yeah. It's like I walked away like so confident and so sure of myself and those like any possible situation you could imagine.
Wow.
Which can be like really scary when someone is dead or might be dying,
right,
or, you know. So that was cool. It was a very empowering experience.
Man, you have some skills under your belt now after all of this.
I learned a thing or two. I'll tell you what.
Oh my gosh. Yeah. You also went through the ringer to do it, but how fun.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you could also take an online class from home that like teaches you a thing or two about these things, or you can go to the Himalaya or the Tetons and like get your hands in it. And
yeah.
Man.
And they do everything. They have sailing. Like they do a sailing course where you're like on little monohulls for a month, like off the coast of Mexico. Mm-hmm. And they do sea kayaking and they have climbing, backpacking and like trekking. Mm-hmm. So whatever sort of level you want there, it's just,
it's cool. Lots of options for lots of interests.
Exactly.
Because I'm pretty sure what I've read of Into Thin Air is impressive, but it did not make me feel like, oh, I need to do this. Like I watched those documentaries and I could barely stomach it. Like I'm like, have to like close my eyes when it gets like stormy or steep. Like I can't handle it. And meanwhile, you're like, oh, that sounds nice. I'll have that. Like, well, it's a different world, man.
Like, yeah. Well, it's one of those things too, where it's like, it's like every time I like go out, it's either like I get pushed to my edge of my comfort zone or just beyond it.
Mm-hmm.
And then you find out like, oh, like I'm okay. Like I got this.
Yeah.
And then the next time it's like pushed a little bit past that one and a little past that one. And then you're like, oh, and then you're in it and it's hard and it's suffering. It's like, I have to say it's true. It's type two fun. And then you walk away and you're like, wow, like what changed in me? What changed in my relationships with the world? When can I go back? Yeah.
So awesome.
Yeah.
That, I feel like that's super relatable. Like what you just kind of encapsulated with that. That is the magic of, I would say, travel too. Like getting outside your comfort zone. That's what it is.
Mm-hmm.
Because you find out what you're capable of. And that can be addicting.
Yeah.
That alone, like that learning process, that discovery process of what happens in yourself is addicting in the best way because it's so empowering. Like you said, you go and you meet yourself. It's like there's some other part of you that exists out there that you have to dig for.
Yeah. Yeah, totally. Yeah. Do you know what? This is like slightly off topic, but not really. My dad told me, I think a year or two ago, he was reading like upon good leadership practices in the workplace and just like in the corporate world. And they did a bunch of studies to like test all this. And he said one of the biggest things he read that surprised him, but not really when he thought about it, was that the human brain is hardwired to learn and is hardwired to be challenged and stimulated. And that's why that pushing yourself out of your side of your comfort zone a little bit, like learning something new is so addictive because we need that to thrive and to like feel alive, you know?
Yeah.
So
and we crave the challenge.
Yeah.
And once you realize you can do it too,
right?
Then it's like, what else can I do?
Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. And you know, and I think sometimes like for a lot of people, there's like doing something new or learning something new either has like the stigma of being like work. Like it's, you know, like it's, you have to effort into something.
Yeah.
And then that's like what turns people off.
Right.
But it's like so not.
But nothing, what is it? Nothing ever worth doing is easy.
Yeah.
If it's worth doing, it's probably going to be challenging.
In some way, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's true. That's true. But anyway, I love Knowles.
Oh, cool. Yay.
I'm going to like send my kids on the Knowles stuff.
Yeah.
Daryl and I have started doing like research onto what Noel's alumni trip we want to do.
Yay! I was like, going to ask you if you're going to take him.
Yeah,
I know.
Totally.
So that's going to be an eye opener
yeah.
for him. I think.
Yeah. I think he'll be great. I think he'll love it.
No, he would love it. He's going to be hooked too, I think. That's so cool.
Yeah.
Yay. Well, thank you so much for sharing all your stories and such detailed information about these courses. And it's like super inspiring and impressive. Aww. And yeah, cheers.
Well, cheers. Thank you for having me.
All right, guys, I hope you found that as interesting as I did. It is amazing to me just how many structured programs there are out there that we can sign up for or apply to, just like how I did my study abroad programs in Brazil and France, or how people do TEFL courses, learning how to teach English overseas. It seems there are endless ways for us to explore the skills that we want to develop personally while we're traveling. It's like win-win. And Chelsea's stories and experiences with Knowles are perfect examples of that. So here's your daily dose of encouragement and inspiration to, you know, get on the internet, do some research. You never know what you might find, just like how Chelsea stumbled upon the perfect program for what she was looking for. There are so many options out there that are available to us if we just decide to look for them, you know? So that's all for today. Thank you so much for being here. I hope to see you right back here for the next episode. Safe travels, everybody.